My name is Betty. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, and I used to struggle more with eating addiction, and now I struggle with codependency. Tonight is lesson two, powerless. And you have your little sheets in front of you, and we're going to work right through them. Look at all those letters. There's lots of letters there, so keep your pens handy and be ready. I'd like you to start on the right-hand side, but before we do that, let's go ahead and let's repeat the principle together, okay? Hopefully, oh, there it is. It's right up there on the screens. Ready? Realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. And the scripture? Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. And step one, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives had become unmanageable. For I know that good itself does not dwell. Could we start that again? I'm sorry. For I know that good itself does not. Mine's different than yours. I'll read off that. Okay. I know. Ready? Here we go. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Okay. Okay. As soon as we take this step and admit that we are powerless, we start to change. We see that our old ways of trying to do and control things, those things that are our hurts and hang-ups and habits, don't work. They were buried by what we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that's denial. And we held on to our false sense of power. Tonight, we're going to focus on four actions, and that's why I wanted you to start on the right-hand side, all those blank lines. Those four actions, the first one, we're going to be doing two things that we're going to stop doing. And the first one is to stop denying the pain. You can write that down. Stop denying the pain. We said that our denial had at least six negative effects. It disables our feelings, wastes our energy, negates our growth, isolates us from God, alienates us from our relationships, and lengthens our pain. Pity me, O Lord, for I am weak. Heal me, for my body is sick, and I am upset and disturbed. This is how David described the feeling that he had when he was powerless. When David's pain finally surpassed his fear, he was able to face his denial and feel the reality of his pain. And in the same way, if you want to be rid of your pain, you must face it, and then you have to go through it. The second action that we need to stop doing is to stop playing God. You can write that down. You're either going to serve God or yourself. You can't do both. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot be a slave of two masters. You will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be loyal to one and despise the other. When our self is out of control, all attempts at control, or self or others, fail. In fact, our attempts to control ourselves and others is really what got us into this mess in the first place. God needs to be the one in control. There are two jobs. There's God's job, and there's mine. We've been trying to do God's job, but we just can't. On the flip side, he won't do our job. We need to do the footwork. We need to admit that we're not God and that our lives are unmanageable. Then when we have finally emptied out ourselves, God will have room to come in and to begin his healing work within us. Now, the third thing that we need to start doing, this is on those lines on the bottom, start admitting our powerlessness. The lust of power is rooted in our strengths, not in our strengths, but in our weaknesses. We need to realize our human weakness and quit trying to do it by ourselves. We need to admit that we are powerless and turn our lives over to God. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. When we keep doing the things that we don't want to do, and we fail to do the things we've decided that we need to do, we begin to see that we do not, in fact, have the power to change, and that what we thought we had, we don't. Life is coming into focus more clearly than ever before. The last thing that we need to start doing is to start admitting that our lives have become unmanageable. I've been in recovery for the past 4 years, and recovery for eating disorders is a little different than it is for other substance abuse issues. You can't quit cold turkey. It's tricky, but 2 years ago, I was feeling really pretty good about how far that I had come. I had 2 step studies under my belt. I was no longer binge eating, and I was really trying my hardest to eat healthy. Next month, as some of you already know, my oldest son, who just happens to be adopted, and I will undergo a kidney transplant, mine to him. This isn't the first time that I tried to be his donor. I remember how very powerless I felt 2 years ago when the donation process was brought to a halt because they learned about my eating disorder. I was crushed. I had nearly completed all the tests that they knew that I had the same blood type and that I had very healthy kidneys. After all, I had worked so hard to be free of the bondage of binge eating. And here I was being told no. The rest of the tests to see if my antibodies were a match never happened. They were concerned that post-surgery would cause me to relapse. I tried to reason with the doctors and asked if I could sign a release that would keep them harmless if something didn't go well for me, but that door was shut tight. When you realize you have no control, not easy for the codependent person in me, it's easy to identify the feelings that were expressed by David in Psalm 40:12. Problems too big for me to solve are piled higher than my head. Meanwhile, my sins, too many to count, have all caught up with me, and I am ashamed to look up. As you'll see, I was the poster child for tonight's acrostic. I was totally powerless. We can't expect to have serenity when we allow sins to rob us of peace. And that first P, now on the other side of your form, the P stands for the word pride. I was filled with pride. I was convinced that I was right and that the doctors were wrong. I never thought about how a bad outcome on my part could contribute to the way that other people might look negatively at the living donor process. It never even crossed my mind. I wanted to manipulate and control it all. Pride ends in a fall while humility brings honor. The O, the next letter, stands for if only. I began to have those thoughts in my head. If only I hadn't been so open and honest about my eating disorder. You may be thinking things like, if only I could stop drinking. If only I had not gotten myself addicted to drugs. If only I hadn't been hanging out with the wrong friends. But God's word says this: whatever is covered up will be uncovered, and every secret will be made known. So then whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in broad daylight. Luke 12:2-3. God will use the very things that we want to hide. I wanted to hide my eating disorder. the very things we want to hide as part of our healing process. The W stands for worry. I was shocked to learn that worry is the sin of not trusting God enough. We get sucked into it so easily. When I worry, I try to take that power of control back into my hands. Well, we say, if God isn't going to do anything about this, then I guess I'll have to. I remember weeping before the Lord and begging him to let me be the donor. And then when I was turned down, I reached out to other people to try and get them to consider being living donors. My counselor has a way of describing this. She talks to me about how I'm often trying to get everyone to read the script that I'm writing instead of letting God be the director of the dramas in my life. He's the great playwright who knows all the characters and where each one is to enter and exit and the script they are to learn, not me. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34. When you look at this much of the acrostic, when you look at just this much of the acrostic, it spells the first syllable in the word powerless, which is P-O-W. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way or not before, but that's what we are, and that's where we live when we're living under our own power. In essence, we are a prisoner of war and a slave to our own junk. The next thing that happens is the next letter. When we admit we are powerless, that we quit trying to escape. That's the E. And that's exactly what I tried to do. When my hurt and disappointment overwhelmed me, I ran away. I ran away to Africa. The very next day, after being turned down as a donor, I called the leaders of a group that were planning to lead a spiritual retreat to Africa for the children that we support there. It was a good thing, and I'm sure that God used it and used me. But when I came home, I still had all those hurts to deal with, and I was no farther along in working through them. I went right back to my old pattern of eating away my problems, and I very nearly did relapse. God had things that he wanted to teach me. Ephesians 5, 13 through 14 illuminates this for us. For light is capable of showing up everything for what it really is. It is even possible for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. When I got home, I decided to take matters into my own hands and try to work through them with a special psychologist who works with clients who have eating disorders. I did the things that she told me to do, and once again, I called the transplant team to see if they might agree with the psychologist that I was doing great. Once again, they said no, and they made it clear that I was not to be the candidate. When we are trying to escape our problems and it doesn't work, it can lead to us stuffing them. If we suppress them and they are allowed to fester, then we develop resentments. And that's the R. Resentments are like emotional cancer. I was filled with resentments. Now, I'm not the kind of person that says bad words, but I can think them. And I had a few choice ones that I was thinking about the transplant team. It was eating away at me, and I was eating away at it. It wasn't just the situation with the transplant. It was also some poor choices that one of my other sons was making, and a lot of other things, and it was destroying my serenity. About this same time, I attended a retreat, and I heard a speaker that helped me see what my resentments were doing to me. They weren't affecting the people that I resented, just me. I made arrangements to start meeting with her on a regular basis. I consider her my sponsor now, and over the past year and a half, we've opened up the areas of pain in my life, and we've examined each one. This past summer, I saw one of the doctors that I had held resentment for in my heart, and bad words. I was able to make amends to him right there in his office. He looked a little bit surprised. I'm really not sure that he hears too many amends. But forgiving and forgiveness is freeing. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Those last two letters are the next syllable in the word powerless. When we don't allow God to lead us in our lives, we live in a constant state of emergency. Remaining in an emotional and dysfunctional emergency room, or the ER. If, however, we allow ourselves to maintain a false power, we can become isolated and alone. And that's the L for loneliness. When you admit that you're powerless and start to face reality, you will find that you don't have to be alone. You might be surprised to learn that loneliness is a choice. In recovery, you have the opportunity to see that there's a community of others where you can get involved and never be lonely again. You know, some lonely people are critical and they blame others for their loneliness. Mother Teresa once said, "If you love others, you have no time to judge them." If you're lonely, get involved here at CR, in your church, or in your community. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Continue to love each other with true brotherly love. Don't forget to be kind to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." Another E is for emptiness, which we learn to give up when we recognize that we're powerless. As I worked with my sponsor/counselor, she helped me to grow closer to Jesus. That's the best part of CR, celebrating the closeness of the one who has taken away our sins and set us free. Where there was emptiness before, now there is light, the light of hope. He delights in us. He sings over us. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness." John 10:10. Once Jesus gets to filling the inside of us, we find that we're starting to be less self-centered. The S stands for selfishness. Instead of focusing on our own issues, we can open up our eyes and our hearts to see the needs of others. Whoever clings to his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall save it. Luke 17:33. Now, this is a profound statement, and it's not original to me. Most relational issues are about someone's selfishness. Think about that. It's either the other person being selfish, or it's you, or maybe it's both. But most relational issues are about someone's selfishness. The last thing that we give up is separation, that last S. What has kept us separated from God is our own sin. If we're feeling separated from God, we need to examine ourselves. God hasn't moved. He still wants to help you fix what you're powerless to fix on your own. These last four letters spell out the word less, the last syllable in the word powerless. When I recognize that I am not God and rely less on me and more on him, then I become less and he becomes greater. And that becomes the foundation for my life change that begins to take shape. For myself, I'd been in denial about my eating issues. I was still in bondage. I needed help, and I found it. I needed to give up my feeble efforts and get healthy the right way. within community, with a health coach, and with a healthy eating plan. I started that process in July of last year, and within 3 months, I was living out my own healthy dream. One of those things I was learning from my sponsor took the form of an illustration, and I've shared it more than once in my small group, but the illustration is of God being like a giant river. And we can sit on the side of the river and we can watch it go by, too afraid to get our feet wet. Or we can jump into the river, but then frantically try and swim against the current, convinced that we are right about going our own way. Or we can jump into the river and let that mighty river take us in the direction that we're supposed to go. As we lean back and we float along, I finally decided to float with God and not try to swim against the current of his love. Now back to my son, our adopted son. Last February, he nearly died. He coded during a routine procedure, and as a result of that procedure, he was removed from the deceased donor list that he had been on for 3 years. As he went through all the testing that had to take place for him to be put back on the list earlier this summer, I accompanied him to one of his office visits. I was a changed and humbled human being. I walked back into those transplant offices knowing that I didn't have all the answers. But I felt a little stir in my spirit that gave me the courage to ask if I might be, this time, considered a living donor for my son. What I thought months earlier had been a no from God turned out to be a not yet. The doctor said that we could begin the process that very day and try again. As you know, it turned out that as his adoptive mother, I'm a perfect match. That's kind of not the usual thing. And we're scheduled for surgery on October 24th. I had to recognize, yes. I had to recognize that this was all out of my control. Powerless is a great place to be. We are powerless in our weakness, but with God's power, we can be made strong. Let me close tonight by offering some hope to you. This hope comes directly from God's word. You see, the Apostle Paul was powerless too. I love to find new translations of the Bible to kind of change my thinking and give me new perspectives. And I've been challenged a lot lately by Eugene Peterson's Message version. And if you have a copy and you're working on powerless, I would suggest that you reread Romans 7 through 8. It's packed full. Here's just a little bit of this incredibly pointed message. I know that all of God's commands are spiritual, but I'm not. Isn't this your experience? Yes, I'm full of myself. After all, I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So if I can't be trusted to figure out what's best for myself and then do it, it becomes obvious that I need something more. The power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions. I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. I've tried everything and nothing helps. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said it out loud? I have many times. Nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from the dead life. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" If we go through the hard times with him, then we are certainly going to go through the good times with him. That was Romans 7, 14 through 25, and 8, 9 through 17. So just to review, we'll put those pictures back up once again. Don't let yourself be a prisoner of war, a prisoner of the war of sin in your life any longer. Don't live in a constant state of emergency by trying to escape and hold on to your resentments and have to take trips to the ER. And do be sure to rely less on yourself and more on God. Thank you.